اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، الحمدللہ رب العالمین، والصلاة والسلام علی سیدنا و نبینا و طبیب نفوسنا و حبیب قلوبنا ابی القاسم محمد صلی اللہ علیہ و آلہ و سلم، لا سیما بقیت اللہ روحی و ارواح العالمین لتراب مقدمه الفداء. My very dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would like to share with you a few words in this respectful gathering that is held in memory of, in fact, one of the most outstanding scholars that from the time of the very time of the beginning of the major occultation up until present time, the Shia history, the Islamic history, the human history, in fact, has failed to produce one similar to him, and that is none other than As-Sayyid Ruhullah al-Musawi al-Khumayni al-Imam al-Khumayni Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayh. For this sorrowful occasion of the 25th anniversary of the demise of Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayh, I would like to offer my condolences to all of you brothers and sisters, as well as our present Imam Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. May I invite all of you to share the reward of recitation of Suratul Fatiha, tasbaghuha salawatu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, dedicated to his soul. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. As my time is very limited, I share with you, inshallah, very briefly and very evidently a topic that I like to really alert all of you, all of us, about it, related to Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi and our modern era. Since 9/11, there was a new world order, and in fact, with the rise of secularism, as I have heard this many times from them, Judaism as well as Christianity, they have been archived. No longer they existed in practice within the societies. The only problem has been and still is Islam, for secularism, counterattacking secularism. The solution that post 9/11 they have come up with, and it's something that I'd like to share with you today, and in this gathering, and I'm quoting it from the horse's mouth, is to see how we can pervert Islam. Instead of fighting Islam directly, the plot against Islam is to pervert Islam, and perversion and distortion of Islam, not by non-Muslims, that by and large Muslims won't take it, won't accept it. No, the plot is to pervert Islam by the so-called Muslims, and not again ordinary Muslims, Muslim leaders. As Maulavi Rumi says, Mahi asar gande gardad nayzadom, or Mahi asar gunde gardad nayzadom. Fish grows from the head, he says, the very famous Iranian Sufi and poet. He says, a fish grows from his head, not from the tail. Likewise, a fish spoils from his head, not his tail. This is a metaphoric expression that whatever happens, happens from the head of the community. If the head of the community is spoiled, the community is spoiled. If the head of community is pious and spiritual, the community will also grow in piety and spirituality. إذا فسد العالم فسد العالم. Now, to tell you that how this plot was formulated and really was practiced, I'd like to take you to some years back. Since 2003, and then 4 and 5, and finally 2006, there have been conferences called Imam Conferences. in various Western countries, North America, Europe, and finally in 2006 in Australia, in Sydney, that I witnessed that myself, and I'd like to share that with you to tell you exactly and quoting from the horse's mouth what was the satanic plot formulated then and still is being implemented against the Muslim community. In 2006, an Imams conference was held in one of the most luxurious hotels in Sydney, funded and sponsored by the Australian government. Over 100 Muslim Imams were invited from across the country to that conference, 3 days conference. The conference was addressed by a parliamentary secretary, and that was a very good evidence, in fact, to tell us that what was that conference all about. How come a secular government is funding a conference about Islam and inviting all the Imams? What is the agenda really in that? In the conference, the parliamentary secretary, spokesman of the government, he says that you Imams have got the opportunity here to explain the following to your community. Not only the opportunity, he was in fact demanding and dictating that. The very first, and I quote from his official website, he says that the very first opportunity that you have to explain to your community is to tell them that the true expression of Islam is not in conflict with the Western way of life. Western lifestyle should not be in conflict with Islam. It is your responsibilities, you Imams, you spiritual leaders, the religious leaders of your community, to present Islam in such a way, and I explain it, of course. What is the Western lifestyle? We all know that. Go to the pubs on Friday evening, meet up with your manager, dating, you name it, drinking. It's part of Western lifestyle, isn't it? Come out of closet and you name it, all of the above, Western lifestyle. You need to explain it to your community, present Islam, interpret Islam in such a way that does not come with any conflict with Western lifestyle. So you need to explain Islam to a Muslim girl in such a way that she does not see any conflict between being a Muslim and at the same time she doesn't have to wear the hijab when she comes out, because the Western lifestyle doesn't have that dress code that you Muslims have. One. Second, he says that you Imams and the religious leaders have the responsibility to explain to your community, interpret Islam in such a way that the relationship anyone of any faith has with their God is one-to-one relation. It's a very personal relation. Keep your religion, in other words, in your heart. Don't bring it to school. Don't bring it to workforce. You're in a corporate organization, company working. What is this dress code? Why are your sister dressed like this? You need to explain to Muslims that if you want to be religious in your heart and keep it inside your house. You may dress as you like, traditionally, Islamically, as you wish at home. Keep it there at home, but don't bring it out. Don't publicize it. This is what the parliamentary secretary is dictating to over 100 Muslim imams and religious leaders. What else? He continues by saying that one of the most fundamental aspects of democracy in the West is the separation of church and state. And you Imams have the responsibility to explain that to your community, all right? You need to explain to the community that keep the religious affairs inside the mosque. Don't bring it to the state. Leave the state and political affairs to us, and you'll be busy with your leading the prayers and congregations inside the mosque. State and religion must be two separated identities from the Islamic point of view. And don't tell me that, but my Islamic evidences do not prove that, because you have to see Islam the way I want you to see. Exactly the pharaonic approach. I show you what I want you to see. I want you to interpret Islam the way that I want you to understand it. Okay? What else? And he further continued amazingly quoted some of the verses and the ayat of the Quran, and he said that you imams have responsibility to denounce, and I'm quoting exactly, a strong denunciation and correction of these verses is one of your fundamental responsibilities. Denunciation of these verses of the Quran. These verses, they don't exist in the Quran. It's not true. They must be added to the Quran. It cannot be the Quran is saying these things against the non-Muslims. You have to present Islam in such a cool and sweet way that becomes so compatible with the way that we in the West and secular people live our life. He concluded his speech by announcing a $35 million grant to handpick imams and Islamic institutions, that the government has approved a $35 million grant to any imam, any religious leader among Muslim communities, or institutions, Islamic schools, madrasa, mosque, you name it, that promote such ideas that we are telling you. The grant is waiting for you. And all Islamic centers are craving for all these grants, all right? Subsequent to that conference, my friends, the day after that, in fact, in one of the Australian newspapers, and I read it, I'm telling you from the horse's mouth, I witnessed all of this in 2006. The president of AFIC, Australian Federation of Islamic Councils, he had an interview, and in the interview, he attacked Muslims, naive, he called them naive Muslims, who blindly follow their faith and fail to question the validity of anything that the Quran says and Prophet Muhammad says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And shamelessly, he said that even Muhammad had flaws, subhanallah, just a day after that conference. Now, since then, 2006 up until now, unfortunately, we are witnessing the trend of deviation and perversion in Islam by self-declared sheikhs, self-declared mujtahids, self-declared marja, and it seems there is a race, a competition, because there's a grant behind it. There's a grant behind it. What I know, narrated to you, quoted to you from Australia, exactly happened in North America and in Europe as well. In fact, Australia was quite behind from its counterparts. What is the remedy and the solution to that? This is a very dangerous thing, that to spoil Islam and the Muslim community, of course they cannot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting Islam. To spoil and divert and pervert the Muslim community, especially the new Muslims, the new reverse Islam, by so-called sheikhs, by so-called religious leaders who like to sound cool and attractive to the Western lifestyle. The solution to that is what Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi had quoted, and many of our scholars have quoted. The good news is that right in the beginning, in fact, during the minor occultation, the major occultation even had not started yet. That's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. Shaykh al-Kulayni rahmatullah alayhi narrated that someone with the name of Ishaq ibn Ya'qub, he said that I had some questions about the upcoming events and I wanted to ask Imam al-Mahdi ajjalallahu farajahu sharif. He said, I wrote a letter to one of the ambassadors of Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu farajahu sharif with the name of Muhammad ibn Uthman al-Amri. And I said, please pass this to my honorable Imam and tell him that what are we supposed to do? What the community, the Shia community is supposed to do when all these mischiefs are designed against them in the years to come during the major occultations, during the time of major occultation? An answer came back that Imam al-Hujja ajjalallahu farajahu sharif, with his holy handwriting, he wrote, وَأَمَّا الْحَوَادِثُ الْوَاقِعِ. This is the bedrock of the principle of the authority of a jurist. وَلِآيَةَ الْفَقِيهِ. Unless we have that principle, otherwise Islam will not be maintained, will not be preserved, will be perverted rather. The Imam says, وَأَمَّا الْحَوَادِثُ الْوَاقِعَةِ فَارْجِعُوا فِيهَا إِلَىٰ رُوَاتِ حَدِيثِنَا فَإِنَّهُمْ حُجَّتِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنَا حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ. As with the upcoming events, any plot against you, you go to Wali al-Faqih, you go to the one that has the authority on my behalf on you. They have authority on my behalf for you as I have authority over them. That's why you see Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi emphasize so much on the fiqh al-jawahiri. The fiqh al-jawahiri is the traditional style of becoming a mujtahid and a marja, not a self-declared mujtahid that has become mujtahid in Harvard University, for example, in the Western lifestyle. Okay? Why he emphasized on that? My teacher Ayatollah Jawadi was saying that one of the reasons is that Sahib al-Jawahir rahmatullah alayhi, when he came to the issue of discussion of the issue of the authority of the jurist, he said any mujtahid, any faqih, so-called faqih I would say, any so-called faqih who does not understand, does not acknowledge the authority of the jurist, لم يذق من الفقه شيئاً. In fact, he has not tasted the jurisprudence of Ahlul Bayt, the fiqh of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, at all. والحمد لله رب العالمين. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أصواتكم.